This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. FOMC meeting this week, interest rate decision coming. Last week at the White House, President Donald Trump.
Energy prices are down all over the country. Mortgage rates are actually down slightly, even though I have a guy in the Fed that I'm not a huge fan of, but that's all right. These are minor details. Don't tell him I said that, please. As the cameras rock and roll back there. No, I'm just, I mean, he should reduce interest rates. I think I understand interest a lot better than him because I've had to really use interest rates. But we should have interest rates go down. It would be positive, but it's not going to matter that much because ultimately what we're creating has much more to do with other things than it does just pure interest rates. But it would be nice for people wanting to buy homes and things.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading, Chicago. Okay, Bob, let's get started. Rally in the cattle market on Monday. So where do we go from here?
Yes, another strong start for the cattle market this week. Generally speaking, summarizing some of the major factors in the move for cattle is that cash market's been real strong and continues to sustain gains for the most part here. Funds are buying. Generally speaking, amount of head out there, limited supply, and then there's also pretty strong optimism for feeder cattle and prices there too. So a number of things helping the market prop up and push into new swing highs. Working against that a bit would be the technical caution, I guess we'll call it. There's a lot of analysts out there, technicians who see how stretched the market has become since making those swing lows a number of weeks ago. And they start talking about things being overbought and unusually high moves. And they start looking at some extensions on some major indicators out there, shall we say. In the market technically is showing some signs of being stretched, but beyond that, I think fundamentally this is what's driving the market. So if we dig into it a little bit, the cash trade last week in the south was up around, I think, $5 to $6 or so, and northern dressed also up around $8 or so, so solidly in terms of the cash market, like I mentioned. Managed money. Net long positions, they're near 150,000 contracts long. Now, that's a good thing and a bad thing, right? So that's a good thing because they've been proving week in and week out relatively consistently that the market is at a point where they want to continue to drive the price higher and they're continually comfortable with being long. But at the same time, if it gets to a point where the amount of contracts they hold is rather extreme, then if the market's given a reason to go down, okay, if it's given a reason to go down, then they tend to hit the exits, not always simultaneously, but it can happen and that'll push the market down. So we'll see how that plays out. But short-term bullish element, the fact that the managed money is long and liking it, and longer-term, when and if this market turns around, might turn to more bearish thing. Tighter beef supplies, weekly slaughter, I think last week was about 559,000 head. That was down 62K compared to a year ago. So just on a raw poundage basis, lighter beef supplies, which is supportive. Showing a bit of herd rebuilding efforts. Beef cow slaughter down 18% year-to-date from 2024. That's also adding to the reduced supply scenario. And then I mentioned the robust feeder cattle market. So the prices have been rallying quite strong along with the live cattle market. And, for example, we've got some sales last week in Kansas and Montana. They broke their all-time highs sitting at around 312 for the eight-weight steers. So tremendous amount of support for the feeder cattle. We'll see how this plays out. I am not one who looks to pick tops or bottoms. We'll just wait till the market tips its hand. And long story short, I'll see that when the market makes a new high, breaks a bit, and then rallies and tries to make a new high but fails in one way, shape, or form. That, to me, would be an indicator that it's topping off for whatever reasons. Perhaps, seasonally speaking, there should be some kind of demand in front of Memorial Day, which is pretty tried and true year in and year out for the most part, with some volatility. But afterwards, it might be a little bit of a hangover. So we'll see how the prices are able to sustain after the Memorial Day holiday. In terms of the hog markets, they've got relatively tight pork supplies despite higher slaughter numbers. Year to date, pork production is down 2%, while hog slaughter is up 3.5%. So that's kind of an interesting scenario, setting up a bit of a production, you know, supply side scenario where it looks pretty bullish for the market at the moment. At least, I mean, it's not showing good rallies like the cattle market is, but nonetheless, it's not necessarily giving up a big chunk of the gains. It's kind of finding its zone right now. Frozen pork inventories, to the point about supply, 28-year lows for April. We're coming into that grilling season demand scenario. Also, a lot of graduations are going to be happening in this month, so there'll be some grills. I'm sure that'll be opening up in some backyards, celebrating that milestone for a number of graduates. Beef prices, as we just talked about, soaring into new highs on the futures board, are creating a scenario where on a relative basis, pound for pound, pork is cheaper. So we'll see if any kind of substantial substitution comes in for pork relative to beef. And then managed money funds, that is, they increased their net long positions to a 9-week high, adding over about 9,000 contracts, I believe. So similar to the cattle market, that's good in the short term because it's showing that the spec money is wanting to get and stay long, but we'll have to see how big of a position they end up accumulating, because it might turn into something with the cattle where if there's given any kind of catalyst for the market to push down, then you might start to see a pretty good break. On the risk side of the equation for the hog market, we've got the tariff situation. China recently canceled some pork purchases from the U.S. due to tariffs. So until those trade tensions get resolved, I don't know how the market wants to, you know, long-term discount that in the price of our pork, but nonetheless, it doesn't seem like we'd have that customer over the near term. But again, anything could happen over the next few weeks in terms of tariffs, so we just got to keep an open mind and just be nimble. So yeah, so pretty good market to the upside again in cattle and feeder cattle. Hogs just kind of finding their zone. We're going to also keep an eye on the dollar, some of the macro things that are affecting the marketplace, overall equities. Consumer confidence has been down recently. Equity markets have actually had a pretty good bounce over the last couple few weeks, so I think that's a bit of a bullish tint. But the consumer confidence didn't help, and the GDP number, a little bit weaker than expected last week, also didn't help the overall consensus out there. So we'll see how that plays out. Some of the big picture things there.
We're talking with Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. All right, Bob, quiet and lower trading session for row crops on Monday. And we also get a World Ag Supply Demand Estimates, or WASDE, report a week from today. Thoughts?
Yeah, as for the grains, it's kind of interesting. Some of the macro impacts on corn, wheat, and beans together are the dollar, South American weather, energy prices, and trade negotiation hopes, trade optimism, expectations. Let's put it that way. In terms of the weaker U.S. dollar, obviously, the lower our dollar, the more purchasing power our trading partners have. Therefore, that helps us out. In terms of U.S. trade optimism, it's interesting because many are really concerned about the uncertainty with the trade tariff situation, and I get that. But at the same time, along with that is the faith by some that there's going to be some good negotiations that are going to benefit the U.S. and hopefully our grains and oil seeds and livestock, for example. So there's some optimism also within that skepticism. Let's put it that way. Working against the three would be a couple things. One is the excellent South American weather. Brazil's safrinha crop looks great. Argentina's harvest conditions look favorable. So that's just going to add to global supply pressures if that continues. And then also weaker energy prices in terms of biofuels, biodiesel, et cetera, that and how that can impact the ethanol corn equation, for example, or the bean oil futures. If energy prices continue to break, then that could kind of weigh on prices. So a couple of good things there and a couple of things that could weigh against prices also. In terms of individual markets, on the bull side of the equation for corn, strong demand still. Export growth is good. Currency trends I mentioned. In terms of the bullish side of the wheat equation, dryness in China, Ukraine, and Russia, plus also a bit of fund short covering is helping that market. And then on the bull side for soybeans, you've got decent export strength in a way. Biofuel demand is still strong. You got those lower acreage numbers that we're working off of. And then also the oilseed fundamentals are definitely looking favorable if you look at the bean oil prices. So a few factors there that are helping the bull side of the equation for those particular markets. So aside from the macro stuff that I mentioned, which are always going to be there, it seems, at the moment, that's just the time and space that we're in right now with the geopolitical scenario. We've also got some things that are specifically helping out each one of those markets. So we'll just see how it plays out in the short term.
It's Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Experience the power of Enfinity this spring. Loveland Products' newest nitrogen management innovation is available now, with three modes of action to boost naturally occurring nitrogen in the root zone and support your crops through the season. Step into a world where nitrogen comes naturally. Take advantage of this product by visiting lovelandproducts.com/infinity or contacting your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant.
Let's talk about Cotton Research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago. Okay, Bob, if we want to talk one-on-one, where do we find you?
Sure. Contact information. You can pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053, or reach out via email at bmaurer@manducatrading.com, or come visit our website at www.myfuturesadvisor.com, and you can reach out that way also.
Thanks, Bob. Tyson out with their quarterly earnings call. Lost $149 million in their beef business in the previous quarter. Don't worry about them, though. They made up for it on the chicken side. $312 million profit. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
We're going crazy about eggs. I don't know about eggs. What's with eggs? Tell me. They said their cost is up 50% and you won't have them for Easter. I said, well, I'll have to get onto it. But this isn't my problem. This is Biden's problem. I've only been here for 4 days.
At the White House last week, President Donald Trump.
They're screaming at me about eggs like it was my fault. I just got here. Didn't know anything about it. We got it taken care of and eggs dropped 87% in the last short period of time, and everybody had eggs for Easter. In fact, we had a big Easter egg hunt on the lawns. We had 48,000 people actually came, and we had a lot of eggs. I don't know how many, but there were a lot. We didn't use plastic. They said, could you use plastic eggs? This is in early January, and I see our Secretary of Agriculture is here. Would you stand up? You did a great job. You got me out of a lot of trouble. Brooke Rollins. She got me out of a lot because they were trying to blame me for eggs and I didn't know anything about it yet. Explain it to me.
It's the Agribusiness Report.